You are now listening to the Overcomers Podcast with Brandon Grimm. If you like what you hear today, then go ahead and hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of the future episodes. Thank you for listening and enjoy today's show.
What's going on? How are you?
Not much, man. Good. How are you?
Good. How was your Christmas?
Really good. Got to see family, friends, girlfriend. Everything
nice.
Was good.
And you're in town from Pennsylvania?
Correct. Pittsburgh. Lived out there for like 5-6 years, so always good to be back
home. How's living out in Pittsburgh?
It's all right. Besides Steelers, obviously.
So. Right.
I mean, Browns are 0-15, but...
Yeah, it's at the time of this, we're just after Christmas, so we're approaching the 16th game of the year for the Browns to see if they can...
Ironically, in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Are you going to go to that? Or
I'll be here, but the first 3 or 4 years I lived there, I went every year.
Did you?
Die hard Browns stuff.
And how is that being in that stadium as a Browns fan?
Yeah, you know, same as it would be, you know, being here as a Steelers fan.
So. Right, right. So you grew up in Northeast Ohio?
Correct.
Right?
Grafton, Eaton Township.
And after high school, where did you first go after high school?
I went to Cleveland State for a year for business, and then – you know, nothing bad happened, just, you know, decided not to go, and then started working 20 different jobs, you name it, I did it, and then eventually got into poker, and it just stuck, so.
Gotcha. And you always had an interest in poker.
Correct. Back in high school.
I do remember the days of high school on the team bus watching you play poker, and and the teachers telling you to put the cards away.
And yep, and then.
Little did they know that... They were crushing a young man's dreams and passion.
Yes, yes.
That would one day grow up to do something pretty cool with that poker. So, what was your high school life like? Pretty normal, you think?
Yeah, or? I mean, you know, just hanging around with people, playing sports, obviously, baseball, basketball, and then obviously partying on the weekends.
Winning a couple of championships.
Winning a couple of championships
along the way, right?
Yes, middle days.
I remember those days back when we were champion.
Very good basketball and baseball. Yes.
Right. Right, those are good memories. I look back on those days very fondly. We were just kids, but was there anything extracurricular that started in high school for you besides sports and along the lines of the party scene? And
yeah, I mean, I kind of remember like we were like freshmen, sophomores, and that, you know, I'd hang out with the guys, junior, senior, older guys, and just. Play cards with them on the weekends, drink beers, smoke a little weed, you know what I mean? Nothing like super hardcore. I mean, it was a weekend thing, so when you're in high school, you know, that's pretty, I guess that's, you know, partying a decent amount, being
right.
Every weekend. So.
Right. And then did that, the party scene that transferred into your college days, your post-high school, along the same lines?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, college, I would go to school every day, but, you know, smoke weed beforehand, actually drink while at school, after school, and then, you know, go out a bunch after, and then either go to school the next day, you know, hungover, or just sleep in and just, you know, say F it, you know, like just not go.
So. Right. So from high school, it started as a weekend type thing, and then as you got into college, it was you're like in between classes and
yeah, you know, drinking beers or like at the Paninis down there at Cleveland State or you know, smoking weed or just, you know, it was just like a everyday thing, so it just seemed, you know, natural to me, normal to me. And
right.
It wasn't like nothing out of the ordinary. It's like, okay, I'm drinking a beer or, you know,
right.
Smoking a joint, so it's just like just everyday life, you know what I mean?
Just became a lifestyle.
Yeah, lifestyle. You know what I mean? It's not like I didn't think I was doing anything wrong. It was just like this is normally what I do. So.
And you're 19, 20, whatever at the time, and you're just like, this isn't affecting my life at all.
Yeah, you know. I mean, I was, you know, selling drugs, making money, so it's like it didn't – there was nothing, you know. I mean, I felt like I was invincible, really, you know what I mean?
Right, right. When you started off selling, was it you were just selling marijuana? Or?
Yeah, I was just, selling weed. Like, in my mind at that time, I thought I was going to do it the rest of my life, you know what I mean? For a 19-year-old, I was making, obviously, a lot more money than most 19-year-olds would make. And then partying, you know, I had a girlfriend. It seemed like everything, you know what I mean, everything was good, so –
And then at some point, the partying and the lifestyle, did it just maintain that or did it get worse? Or
yeah, I mean, it got pretty worse. You know, it's like I still gambled a bunch and, you know, I would like make bad decisions or like, you know, go through like being depressed and then that would make me, you know, want to drink more,
right?
You know, do more drugs to like not think about it. You know what I mean? Right. And then like, in reality, it made things much worse. I didn't know that at the time, but.
So you mentioned that you were depressed. But what do you think was the origin of any of the drug use for you or the alcohol use for you? What do you think the origin was? It was it. Because I hear a lot of people say different things. Like I hear some people say that for them it was they feel it was a like a genetic predisposition to where they're chemically more dependent by nature, or was it experiential to where you?
I mean, you know, it's like there alcoholism does run in my family, but it was like it was more of just it was who I was, it's who I thought I was. You know what I mean? And I would just go out and you know I'd get arrested or something bad would happen, and I would just. Party even harder to just not think about it, you know
right.
what I mean? And just I didn't realize that it actually made things worse mentally for me. And,
right.
You know,
so it started to become almost like a band-aid, like an attempt to numb and kind of hide from.
Right. And it's like I did it because I like to do it, but it's like people see me and they just thought, you know, we're gonna party. So like I kind of felt I had to, you know, live up to that. It's like
right.
just you know what I mean. I didn't realize it was gonna get out of control like it did. Obviously. So
everywhere you went, there was a. Almost an expectation of,
yeah.
hey, you're with people that expect that, and you want to,
right?
You don't want to let them down, almost to where it's, hey, I'm going to do it because you're expecting it,
right? You know, and I'm selling weed, so everybody's like, oh, he's got the weed, or he has the drugs, or
right.
the booze, or whatever it may be. You know what I mean? So,
at what point did it go from where you were just having fun partying and stuff to where it transitioned to a little bit heavier from just smoking weed and getting drunk?
I think I tried. Cocaine for the first time probably when I was like 19, you know what I mean? And then I just, to my early 20s, I started doing that quite a bit, and you know, I loved it. My buddies and I would, you know, we'd stay up, you know, all night, party would end, we'd still party till, you know, the mm-hmm. next morning, no sleep, and then, you know, go to different bars the next day on no sleep and just, you know, be up for 2 or 3 days at times and just like, even at that time, not realizing that I had a problem, you know, it was just...
Right.
Part of, yeah, I enjoyed it. It was a good time until I started getting arrested and, you know, other bad stuff. And it's like it wasn't even fun no more at that point.
For you, in your life, it seemed like a trend of increase to where it just kept getting worse and worse and worse.
Right.
It started in high school with just on the weekends with a little bit of weed, some alcohol, and then it got into more of an everyday thing and then progressed into cocaine.
Everything, you know, you put it in front of me, I did it. You know, I always joked about it. It's like, I didn't even ask what it was. It's just put in front of me, you know, I'll do it. You know, whether it was, you know, acid, mushrooms, whatever it was, you know what I mean? Like, there'd be times where I'd be on 3 or 4 different drugs.
At the same time.
Yeah, and some people wouldn't even know because it's just like, you know, I was so used to it and partying. It's just like, oh, you know, he's just high or he's just drunk. And it's like, little did they know, you know, I was like super, super high.
Like so, in a different world.
Yeah, in a different world.
Were you working around this time, or like how much money from what you were working or making? First, I guess, were you working?
Yeah, I mean, I you know always had a job even when I was younger, you know, and selling drugs and whatnot. I still had, you know, like a side job or something to have income and you know checks coming in. But I blow my money, you know, gambling or blow my money on drugs or whatever. But I always had jobs, you know. I had literally like. Probably 20 different jobs, but there's a lot of jobs I would have for 2 or 3 days and just, you know, be hung over and not get up or just, you know, just said F it and just quit, you know.
How much money do you think you were dishing out a week or a month or whatever?
You know, I remember when I was younger, I used, you know, I was a big blackjack player when I was younger. You know, I'd go to Canada because, you know, the drinking age there was, you know, 19. So I'd go there and, you know, blow thousands, you know. Playing blackjack or whatever. I didn't care because I'd go there and blow it, you know, and come back and make it back, you know, hustling or doing whatever I had to do. And then I would, you know, blow it on drugs and just, you know, I just didn't care. I was just like, make it back. And I always made it back. And then, you know, I'd get on my feet and then blow it all again, get on my feet, blow it all again, and just never, you know, never learn my lesson. So
just a cycle. Just couldn't
or,
get out
you know,
from
get
under.
Arrested or spend the money on that. My parents bailed me out. You know what I mean? If it wasn't for my parents, like, I'd probably be dead or in jail somewhere.
So were you battling any other, I've heard people refer to them as demons almost. You mentioned depression. Were you battling anything else around that time that you were trying to kind of numb the pain of?
Yeah, I dated a girl when I was younger, so that had me, my first, love or whatever you want to call it. So,
sure.
That haunted me for years.
A broken heart.
Yeah, broken heart. Mm-hmm. And, like I said, blowing all the money, gambling on booze, getting arrested. I'd get arrested and then, be all right for like a year or so, then get arrested again. It was one big cycle that just kept getting worse and worse. And it's like, I'm getting older and older. Instead of life getting better and me learning, it kept getting worse instead of getting better.
At what point, looking back, and you probably didn't realize it at the time, or maybe you did, but looking back, at what point did you hit rock bottom in your life?
I could probably look at 3 or 4 different occasions. My early 20s, I had 3 DUIs. So, the second DUI was pretty bad, the way it would happen. And then totally rock bottom was probably about, 3.5-4 years ago when I got my third DUI.
Mm-hmm.
Dead broke. Have to start house arrest. I'm supposed to go to jail. That was...
How old were you?
I'm 33 now, so that was...
Late 20s.
29, I believe. 29.
So, you're a 29-year-old dude, and there's somebody telling you you're not allowed to leave your house.
Yeah.
That's got to be...
I lived in Pittsburgh. It was my third DUI. My first two were here in Ohio, And then, I have to start house arrest. I have, like, $10,000 in fines. I have to wear an ankle bracelet. I can't drink or get high because I have an alcohol monitor on me. Dead broke. My parents are sending me money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing poker. I'm doing what I can to try to be able to play poker at the casino, and I'm being told I can't play, so I'm devastated over that. And then eventually I was actually able to play, which turned out to be, the best thing that ever happened to me.
Sure. So. Was there something – it seems like a lot of times for all of us in life when there's that thing that we know we shouldn't be doing and we try to stop doing, which we all battle, whatever it is in life, were there times where, hey, I'm never doing this again, and then you'd be good for a little bit and then right back into it? Did that ever happen?
Yeah, with the drug. I would be like, I would try to like rationalize and be like, okay, I'm not going to drink for a while, but I'm just going to, smoke a little bit of weed. Or vice versa, just, smoke a little bit of weed and not drink and then, or not do this. And then I would go maybe weeks, maybe months, and then eventually just be right back at it, going as hard, if not harder, than I was.
Sure, sure. And that seems to be, we all seem to go through that in some capacity, regardless of the topic.
Right.
It seems like that's just almost human nature to, it's hard to get away from something, even though you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, it's like, I know I shouldn't be doing this line of cocaine or doing whatever, but it's like, and I know once
I'm just going to do it one time.
And once I do that, once I did that first line, then it was 10 more lines and I'm up for, 2 days and literally at the end of it, hating myself because I know, what I'm doing is just terrible, thinking about my family and like if they knew what I was, you feel guilty about it.
Sure. Absolutely. So, was there something that you tried throughout those times, throughout those years that, you try to do over and over, or at least once that just failed, but you've learned from that, like a favorite failure? Like, what was that thing that you tried that looking back, you were like, that didn't work, but I learned from it and it helped me?
I can't really think of like one, exact failure, but it was, I always tried to be like, I'll just have 1 or 2 drinks tonight,
mm-hmm.
or I'll just, have 1 or 2 pills or lines or whatever it may be. And that was never the case.
So you knew, I guess in a sense, that your favorite failure was the inability to moderate.
Yeah,
Or use in moderation.
Right.
You weren't somebody that would be able to go from the usage that you had been doing to just dabbling
right.
here and there.
I'm an extreme, I'm an extremist with anything I do. So, like, when I worked, a job, then my employer loved me because I'd, bust my butt and, do everything. But then, when I would party, it's like, I could never just go out and have, I could never understand how people could just have 1 or 2 drinks or
sure.
this, next thing you know, I'd have 10 or 15, I'm blacked out. Because blackouts was a big thing for me towards the end. Like, it'd be a nightly thing where I would just black out and literally have no clue what happened. That happened pretty much nightly for years and years. So you could have sat there and told me some ridiculous story.
Right.
And I would have believed you because people would tell me things that I did. And if I was sober or just a little bit buzzed up, would never even think of doing.
Sure.
And it, people would be like, Mike didn't do that. He did do that because someone seen me do it, but it's like, right. You know, I'm blacked out and literally have no comprehension of anything. And I would drive a lot doing that. There'd be plenty of times where I'd drive home, wake up the next morning like, uh-oh. Like,
How did I get home? Sure.
Is everything okay? I'd look outside. My car's there fine. And that, I mean, that happened hundreds of times, which, you know, I'm grateful to this day that
sure
I didn't kill myself or kill somebody else, because
absolutely,
you know what I mean? A lot of people are in prison for that same thing, waking up and in prison because you killed somebody and they have no recollection of it happening.
Sure. So you're 29, rock bottom, third DUI, house arrest. I mean, at that point, it was time to probably have a self-talk of some kind, yeah, and make a decision.
Because leading up to that, for a couple of years living out there in Pittsburgh, like, my buddies and I, we'd sit at my kitchen table and just, you know, do coke, do ecstasy. Like I said, for, you know, a couple of days, and just blowing all my money. I got that third DUI, no money, parents sending me money to pay for bills. I play poker for a living, and I have no money to play because I've blown all my money. Now I have a bracelet on me that I have to wear for 2 years. I only served 1 year. Luckily, I got a good lawyer. You know, I showed the courts my tax returns, and then I was able to play poker at the casino, which turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to me, because that next year that I was sober, all I did was hit the gym, you know, work out, eat good, and just play a bunch of poker. So,
was there one moment in time, if you look back and think, that was the turnaround? Was there a moment where, no matter or whatever that moment was, what happened to where that was, the drugs were done?
It was the house arrest.
House arrest did.
I mean, I actually got sober. I knew when I was starting house arrest, but I think I got sober, I think it was 2 weeks, because my sobriety date's July 15th, let's see, 2000 and I'm 40. It's 41 months. What's that? 2014, 15.
I don't know. I went to the same school you.
That's not very good. But I got sober 2 weeks prior to house arrest. But, like, after, you know, when I started house arrest, I didn't know what to think. I'm like, am I ever going to go back to partying? But after, you know, I started house arrest and felt clean and felt clear-headed, I'm like, I didn't think I was ever going to go back to it. You know, and then here we are over 3.5 years later, and I haven't had a drink or drug or anything.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, yeah.
That year you're on house arrest, did you feel that at all, especially in the beginning, not necessarily withdrawals, because you said you had sobered up 2 weeks before that, but did you feel your mind start wandering at all, to where you're like that hook still pulling you that way in your mind?
You know, I play poker for a living, so I'm in a casino when I play, and there's booze everywhere. I had an alcohol monitor on my thing that I couldn't drink, but, like, yeah, I mean, the first, you know, couple months, seeing all the drinks and everything, like,
sure.
And I went out a couple times where I had, you know, windows to do things, but, like, yeah, the first few months it was like, I mean, I knew I couldn't drink, I'd go to jail, but, like, it's still, you just want to drink, you know,
right?
What I mean, it's like
that urge is still inside.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, you just see it, but I knew, you know, even when I got the bracelet off, that, because I've heard from, you know, other people where, you know, I've been sober for as long as I am, but I could have one drink right now and feel like I never even stopped, and then next,
sure,
you know, I've heard it gets even worse. You know, you get sober that long, and then you start again, it gets even worse. So
you finish your year, you know, just chronologically, you finish your year of house arrest, and you start playing poker, and things really started to kind of turn around for you.
Right.
Did you feel, on the complete opposite end of the last question I asked you, did you feel kind of a hook pulling you in a different direction of, and this feels good, this is exciting, I feel better? You
right.
said you were working out, eating better.
Yeah, I just naturally.
Did you feel that pulling you in that direction?
Yeah, you know, when I got off, like, you know, I had some money in my pocket because, you know, I had a good year, you know, being on house arrest. I had some friends help me out and whatnot. And, yeah, I mean, I didn't want to, like, drink, but that urge was, like, more gone. I seen how good my life was, you know, from the year that I was sober and worked out. And it kind of taught me how to live, you know, because I got in a routine when I was in house arrest and, you know what I mean, felt sober, you know, clean eating, and I'm just like, it's just kind of cool. You know what I mean? My life's good, and I'm like, directly because of sobriety. I mean, other things help, you know, family, friends, and other things, but directly was a sobriety thing. I'm like,
but those family and friends were trying or were helping along the way anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But it took that sobriety to,
yeah,
really, I guess, almost take the blindfold off,
right,
to where you were able to see clearly, like, man, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if the house arrest thing never happened, then might not be sitting here today, you know what I mean? Be in a grave somewhere, you know what I mean, somewhere.
Sure.
You know, or in jail or anywhere, so.
So, how has poker helped you?
Oh, man, I mean, you know, since we were in high school, like,
yep,
just wanted, when I was younger, I just always wanted to play poker. I was always a gambler, you know what I mean? And prior, you know, to the third DUI, I'd played poker for 3 or 4 years for a living. But like I said, you know, I'd have money and then just blow it, or like, it was just getting by, you know what I mean? It's like that year that I was able to play every day, I approached it as a job. You know, I was there for 8 hours, you know what I mean? It's like any other job.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And I seen, people told me for years, they said, just put down the booze, put down the drugs. You have a ton of talent, put it down, you don't know what'll happen.
Did you start playing better?
Yeah, I mean, just better. You see everything a lot clearer, you know,
sure,
decisions, you know, studying the game, working on my game, you know what I mean? And then I got off the house arrest, started traveling, you know, the country, playing different cash games, tournaments, and, you know, having good success. And it's just like, I knew from what I was doing, making the right, you know, decisions and things in life. I'm like, that's a direct result of, you know, my success.
It's almost like two arrows going up, like, simultaneously. Like, your career was starting to take off at the same time as your personal life was taking off.
Right.
All based around the fact that you had battled through years and years and years of drugs and alcohol to where you were sober, clearly able to see,
right,
what your life was supposed to be.
There was one more thing, too, I forgot. I remember before I started house arrest, I still have the email saved in my phone. It was 2014. I had wrote a suicide note that was like, you know, 5 or 6 paragraphs. Like,
sure.
I was, you know, contemplating ending it. And I was going to post it or whatever, you know, and basically say goodbye or whatever. And, you know, just got a second thought about things. And
right.
And I'm not doing, but I still have that email saved to my phone from time to time. You know, I look at it and just tell myself, like, you know what I mean?
Look how far you've come.
You know what I mean? And don't take life for granted. You know what I mean? Like, stay humble, you know, keep working hard. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Make the right decisions. Be a good person. You know
just
what
a
mean?
Constant reminder of where you know, what you went through has gotten you to this point.
Right.
And your life probably wouldn't be as special as it is now, oddly enough, without having gone through all that.
Right.
Because, like we said, as your career took off and your personal life took off, poker has taken you to places that you probably never thought you'd go.
Right.
And experience, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like this summer when, you know, when I was at the World Series and, you know, had the success, like, it was funny because the first day I was on TV was day 5, and that was the exact date of my 3-year sobriety date. So it was kind of like,
sure,
like I had, you know, I had chills. Like, it's kind of like all this is happening, you know what I mean? And I'm a big believer in, like, the law of attraction, you know, what you put out is what you get back, karma,
sure,
all that stuff. And I'm just like, you know, I've lived it. So I'm just like, when I did all these bad things, partied, you know, I wasn't a bad person, but partied, you know what I mean? Like, did whatever. Bad things were happening to me. You know what I mean? And now that, you know, I'm doing, you know, the right things, making right decisions, then good things happen.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's kind of crazy.
Sure. So you're on TV, what, ESPN? Mm-hmm. Big star on ESPN?
Yeah.
Day 5, World Series of Poker. Was that your first time as a competitor at the World Series of Poker?
I had been to the World Series 5 or 6 years ago a couple times, but never played in any big tournaments.
Okay.
So my first time playing in the big tournament was last year.
How are the nerves going into that?
Oh, it was insane. Like,
yeah.
I already have, like, bad anxiety, so it's like, you don't know you're even playing at the TV table. You know, I go to my table day 5, and they're like, you're on the stage today. Like, all right.
All right, I just crap my pants. Thanks.
And there's 3 tables. They got 2 side tables and then the main table. I go up there, and they're like, it's your lucky day. You're on the main table. And I'm like, oh, boy. So I go up to my anxiety super high.
Sure.
You know, never wore sunglasses, but, like, I was so nervous. The cameras were so bright. You know, so I put those on, and then it took me about an hour. But after an hour, you know, I felt comfortable, and it was just, like,
right in your zone.
It was kind of surreal because it's, like, I'm literally living my dream, you know, on my 3-year sobriety day. And it's like, you know, just thankful.
How cool,
that,
man.
You know what I mean? It was just like, it was crazy.
You were probably able to appreciate it based on the 3-year sobriety day. You were probably able to appreciate that moment even more.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and you know what I mean? Just, it's like God telling me, you know what I mean? Just keep doing what you're doing. It's like everything that's happened is, you know, direct, you know, because of your sobriety and
sure.
stuff like that. You know, and all the support, my phone was ding, ding, ding. And it's all the support from my family, friends, people I haven't seen in years, still just like made me feel, you know, like $1 million. So.
And how did you do at the tournament?
I finished 17th.
17th.
17th out of 72-21.
72-21.
Yeah. Third largest main event in history. So.
And you finished 17th.
17th.
How close were you, looking back, how close were you to the number one spot?
Super, super close.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, the last hand that happened, you know, is some of what happened with it. But, like, yeah, I mean, it was just – I mean, I was super bummed for a little while, but now it's like – I'm just working even harder, you know. And it's
good learning experience.
And the next one's, you know, 6-7 months away, and it's like I'm going to try to win it, you know, next year and just work harder and just, you know, keep doing what I'm doing.
Does that 17th spot guarantee you a slot in next year's? Or
You just got to put up the 10,000 to play in the tournament.
Gotcha.
There's like 60 or 70-some tournaments leading up to that, and, you know, any buy-ins anywhere from, you know, $500 to like a couple hundred thousand, you know what I mean?
Gotcha.
You put up the money and just play it, so.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And – hopefully the nerves won't be as bad next time.
Yeah.
I mean, you get the experience now.
Right.
So you're there to win it.
Yeah, I mean, just the experience, you know, in general was just awesome. You know what I mean? So
where was that at?
In Las Vegas.
Las Vegas?
Yeah, yeah.
Had you been to Las Vegas before that to play?
Yeah, yeah, I'd been out there.
I know the casinos, but to an official tournament?
Yeah, yeah. Well, last year and this year, you know, I split a house with some guys. I was actually out there for like 4 or 5 weeks prior to the main event.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, been out there, you know, grinding, playing tournaments, playing cash games. So, and then that's the very last tournament of the summer, so it's like, and it's the biggest tournament of the year, you know, in the world, in the poker world. So,
have you traveled? Where else do you travel for poker?
I go to Florida quite a bit, Maryland, D.C., Vegas. I'll be going to L.A. In February. So it's cool to be able to travel, you know what I mean, and see different parts. And
sure.
Make, you know, I mean, you're your own boss, so you're able to play when you want, you know what
right.
I mean? I mean, it's stressful because you're not guaranteed to win, you know, but it's
sure.
I love what I do, so I, you know,
and
I
probably
can't
the structure, you know, you talked about when you were on house arrest, the daily disciplines, the daily structure that you had taught yourself,
right?
The things that worked,
right?
Based on looking back at the things that didn't, has that helped you in the sense of that you're your own boss and you have to maintain disciplines and
yeah,
structure?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, you know, the house arrest, it taught me how to live, you know, it got me. I had no structure in life before that. You know what I mean? Like, I would sleep till 1 or 2 p.m. You know, when I was in house arrest, you know, I woke up at 7, 8 a.m., you know, went to the gym, worked out, came home, cooked some food, you know, and then ever since I got off, you know, I pretty much do the same thing now. So, you know, it's taught me, you know, schedule and just
sure.
structure life. So
I think your story, I think it's interesting to me because I think there's a lot of different layers to your story of what it's about. And
right.
I think it's about growth. You were able to, I mean, just listening to you talk about how far you've come, there's a lot of growth there.
Right.
Not just professional or with the sobriety, but there's a lot of personal growth, it sounds like, too.
Right.
Maturity that's happened along the way. I think it's also a story about following your passion.
Right.
I mean, this was poker. You've been wanting to play and interested in this for how long now? And
right.
You know, when you're in school – and you go through school or college or whatever, hey, you got to study, you got to do this so you can get a job, a career, go to college or the military. And, like, there's almost a format. And
right.
you were like, I'm going to go around this and do my thing.
Right.
And I'm going to have success with it because it's what I love to do.
Right.
I think that's neat, man.
Yeah, you know, it's like – and some people look at poker differently. Some people think it's like gambling. You know, I mean, and it's different. Like my parents at first are like, well, you're gambling for a living. And I'm like – not really, like, you know, I don't really, you know, bet sports or, like, go play, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm strictly playing poker where it's a skillful game, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, there's still luck involved, but it's, like, being able to do what I love, you know what I mean? It's, like,
sure.
not many – most people go to their 9-to-5 job and, you know, they hate life. Or,
right.
You know what I mean? They never,
right.
you know, want to get better, and it's, like, am I going to play poker for a living for the rest of my life? Probably not, you know what I mean? But for now, like, I'm enjoying it, you know, and just keep doing it, so –
if somebody's listening to this and they are – first, I'll ask it this way. If somebody's listening to this and they are
in the depths of usage, alcohol, drugs, whatever it is, they got addictions, abusing, whatever it is, what would you tell them?
Just tell them, you know what I mean? Just think about, you know, how much more there is to life. You know what I mean? It's like, ultimately, that person has, you know, to want to stop. Like, family, friends can tell you stop or whatever, like, but that means nothing. Like, you have to want it. And just think about, you know, when you're using, how much you're just destroying, you know, your parents or, you know, your family seeing you, like, just destroy yourself. And, I mean, people in our, that we grew up with, so many people have died
mm-hmm.
of overdoses or, you know, suicides that are directed to, you know, from drugs or whatever. Like, just, you know, I'm not saying don't drink at all or, you know what I mean? But, like, if you can moderately drink or do it, you know, casually, then, but if, you know what I mean? But if you have issues, then you need to, you know, seek help or just think about, you know, what you're doing to your, you know, your family and ultimately yourself. So.
Have you, speaking of help, have you utilized any professional resources along the way? Or just relied on the support from family and friends?
Yeah, I mean, when I, you know, for the DUIs, I had to do, you know, court-ordered, you know, AA meetings mm-hmm. and a couple other, you know, outpatient rehab, which, I mean, I worked the program, but, like, it wasn't like me. You know, everybody's got, like, different, you know, support groups. Some people have AA, some have, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, for me, it was just support of, you know, my family, my friends, and then just pushing away the people that, you know, were bad for me and just surrounding myself with, you know, good people. So.
Sure. Which is probably, at least initially, probably the hardest thing to do, I would imagine, is
yeah, you know,
changing the people you associate with.
Yeah, because, you know, I know a lot of people that, you know, I party with that, you know, are good people. They just like to party or they have, you know, issues.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, like, you know, were bad people. So it was saying, okay, well, were these people really my friends? Or they just were there because, you know, I had the drugs or
right.
I was there to party with them. So,
like, were they friends or does misery love company? And that's
yeah, you know, exactly. And you see that real quick. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, you know, I'm down and out. That person doesn't hit me up. So, you know,
right.
I'm on top of the world now. And it's like, now they're hitting me up. So you,
right.
you know what I mean? So, I mean, that's life with anything. But, you know,
sure.
kind of figure that out.
Here's the other way I'll ask that same similar question. For that person that's on his – They got a sobriety date, they've made the change, and they're living a sober life now, and they're able to see how awesome it is.
Right.
There's always going to be bumps no matter what we try in life. What would you tell that person that's got a streak going of however many months or years or whatever of sobriety? What would you tell that person?
You know, never let your guard down. You know what I mean? Never get lazy, you know what I mean? Because, like I said, I've heard, you know, I've known people that have been sober for you know, 10, 15 years. They go back, you know, they have one drink or whatever their choice of drug is, and next thing you know, they're back where they were, if not worse, or, you know, ultimately dead. So, I mean, it's just you got to keep doing things that, you know, positive things and
sure.
whatever your triggers are, you know, a lot of people, when they're bored, you know, they just sit around.
The idle mind.
Yeah, so it's like, everybody knows what their triggers are, so it's like, avoid those things, surround yourself with good people, you know what I mean, and just
keep up the daily disciplines.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's a daily struggle. I mean,
sure.
I don't, like, have really much urge anymore, but, like, I mean, I still think about it.
Sure.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm not going to party the rest of my life. I don't plan on it, you know what I mean, but I can't tell you what tomorrow brings, so.
Right.
You've got to keep doing, you know, what you need to do, so.
Well, you're at 41 months? Is that what you said?
41 months, yeah.
41 months. Honestly, from the bottom of my heart, man, I'm very proud to hear that. I'm happy
appreciate
to hear
it.
That. That's amazing, dude.
Appreciate it.
I'm sure your family, friends, everybody that we grew up with, they're happy to hear that.
Yeah, appreciate it.
I know. I talked to a lot of people that when you were in the Chronicle article,
right.
In the newspaper,
right.
Everybody was like, "Man, that's so cool. That's so cool." And everybody wasn't really focused per se on the poker part. It was the fact that, hey, he's made it through a difficult time,
right?
And he's living his life now, and I think it's really sweet. You got a lot of people that love you and support you.
Appreciate it.
And just keep grinding, man.
Yep.
Every
sure.
day.
Appreciate it.
So, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.